You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. 251-343-0106. Take it all of your text, and we won't belabor Roy Moore anymore. Sorry to disappoint you, unnamed texter. Still to come on the program, Stan Cook, he's running for state auditor, and April Marie Fogle of Alabama Today. That's in the next hour. Joining us now, our returning champion. Every Friday you can hear him on this program. Time may vary, but I think we're going to get back on track at his normal time next week. State Senator Chris Elliott on the line. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on and for accommodating the time change.
That's we certainly appreciate your time, as we always do. A lot going on here, not so much on the state level, not yet, but the campaign cycle really is starting to get underway. You were up in Guntersville for Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth's re-election announcement. It doesn't look to me like there's a whole lot. It does seem, am I wrong to say this? It seems a little anticlimactic right now. Maybe that'll change as we go ahead.
Well, I think you're probably right in that. I mean, it's there was certainly some excitement at the Lieutenant Governor's event. A bunch of people there. I think, probably around 3,000 folks there are excited about Will and what he's doing. But again, as far as the onlookers, those of us that, that watch politics and are interested in what's going on, you don't see a lot of competition so far, at least credible competition in some of these races. I hadn't heard of any competition in the governor's race, in the lieutenant governor's race, secretary of state's race so far. I mean, I think things are, lacking a lot of competition so far.
Yeah, and I guess you have to go all the way down ballot. Maybe treasurer if John McMillan doesn't run again, but state auditor, you've had some people starting to announce for that. But the lieutenant governor's event, I think, would rival a mid-tier presidential candidate. It was pretty big for probably the biggest lieutenant gubernatorial campaign rollout in the state's history.
Well, and I think that's just indicative of the candidate and my good friend, Will Ainsworth. He is an exciting guy. He gets people energized and up and going. Even if there isn't an opponent, people are excited to hear him speak and what he has to say. He brings a lot of energy to the room. And I think you saw that, with 3,000 folks that were there interested in his kickoff and exciting things to come. And I think you'll see a lot of, Will Ainsworth, obviously, in this lieutenant governor's race, but for years to come, down the road, he's going to be very active in Alabama politics, and I think we're lucky for that.
I think you're right about that. I think that's a pretty solid prediction, and we'll see more of him for in the coming years, for sure. Let's get on to the issue. I wanted to touch on it last week, but we ran out of time. All of these ideas about what to do about the bridge situation, it's making a comeback. It's back at the tip, or it's about to be. It may not, officially be official. Don't want to upset anybody that works for these MPOs, but by saying it is. But the idea that we could—I don't even know that this is a Band-Aid. This truck bridge, the theory that's being floated out there. It just seems to me that we have a little bit of federal money, and we need to do something with it. So let's. Let's just see what we could try and see what sticks to the wall and just throw it out there.
Well, that's not an unfair analysis, and not just that we've got some federal money and we need to do something with it, but we need to show the federal government that we are still trying to solve this problem so that they would be willing to continue to fund us trying to solve this problem. We don't want to take the money that they have assigned to this project, do nothing with it, and then look at us and say, well, you didn't do anything with the last money we sent you. Why should we give you more? So I do think it's incumbent upon the MPOs and ALDOT to come together and work on this solution. And if there's a takeaway, I think that's it, that the conversation is back going again. All parties realize that a solution is sorely needed, and that we need to figure out a way to make something happen. The question is really just what. And look, the Truck Bridge plan is not without its flaws, and certainly is going to be studied now. I think that the results may not be as rosy as everybody or a lot of folks predict. But the important takeaway is this is back moving again with some solid funding behind it and commitments from ALDOT and the feds. And now it's time to figure out what can we afford, what can we do, and how do we solve this problem, because the problem has not gone away.
Well, I guess the question is just how much would it alleviate the problem? And I know there's truck accidents all the time coming in and out of the tunnel. I get that part of it. Maybe this helps there. But when I'm sitting in traffic, it tends to be when I'm crossing the bay and the traffic's really bad, it tends to be in the summer months, typically when people would be headed to the beach or somewhere. And then you combine that with some rush hour traffic locally, and you combine it with the usual traffic that's just, you know, passing through the I-10 corridor anywhere between Jacksonville and Los Angeles, California. And that's where you get the bottlenecks and the backups. We've been dealing with trying to get across that bay for 100 years, and all of these solutions that have been, you know, acted upon have never really solved the problem for any significant length of time. I don't think this truck bridge is going to get the job done either.
Well, and I think, you know, you very well may be right. That's a hypothesis that ALDOT has come up with, that while it represents 9-10% of the traffic, that you may see 40% or more improvement in traffic flow without the trucks. I mean, that's an ALDOT hypothesis. I'll tell you what, Jeff, I'd like to see us test it. And frankly, I think that's a pretty easy thing to do. If you look just up the Mobile River, you know what we got? A bridge, a cable stay, 4-lane bridge that's just up the river. If you really wanted to test this hypothesis without spending a bunch of money, put truck traffic on the Cochran Bridge and see if it works, and see if you really see those types of improvements. I mean, an on-the-ground, real-world test for this concept would be fairly inexpensive, and probably you could see what it would do with minimum impact, as opposed to something that, you know, is really kind of betting on a concept, you know, and if you build it, maybe it'll work. I'd almost like to test it out first.
Yeah, you could maybe route traffic, I guess, up 65 over to the new one, or was I say it's new, it's like 20 years old, 165, and then across that bridge. Maybe that would work, and there's a way to do that. But that bridge, I think, built in the 1980s, the Africatown Cochran Bridge, I know it serves a purpose there. There's a lot of reasons for it, but I don't feel like it's ever really been used in the way it could be used. I mean, is that a fair assessment?
I think it could certainly be, utilized by more traffic. I mean, I use it when the Bayway is clogged up. Used it yesterday a couple of times, as a matter of fact, even when the Bayway wasn't. But I think it could really be used in this instance. You know, the hazardous material cargo already has to go over that bridge, so it stays out of the tunnel. But I got to be honest with you, from a you know, an appropriator standpoint, if this is the direction we're headed, I sure would like to just see if it would work. And I think that's something that could be accomplished fairly simply, and without, you know, from a trucking association standpoint, without encumbering trucks, you know, with a toll for the next however many years. Just move them up there now. Does it add a few miles on the trip if they're headed through to I-10? You know, yes, it does. But it's got to be better than spending all that money on new infrastructure that may or may not work. Just give it a shot. See what happens.
Have you proposed this to ALDOT or the governor?
I've been floating it around out there to see who the takers are. I think it's gotten some raised eyebrows, kind of looking at it, going, "Hey, that's simple, but it may be a solution, you know, to at least test the hypothesis." And again, if it doesn't work, we've verified a zero. We've said, okay, this was a concept and it doesn't work. Let's let's find something else that does. But at that point, you haven't spent a whole bunch of money testing the hypothesis. You didn't build it to see if it would work. You tried it out because you had some infrastructure in place that would essentially accomplish a very similar goal to what you're trying to accomplish with a Turk bridge. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, the fact that the MPO is back in, you know, concert with the State Department of Transportation, trying to figure out what money we have available and how to solve this very real problem is a good thing, is a positive thing, and it says we're headed in the right direction for the first time in a while.
Yeah, and I guess everyone's just kind of skeptical about where that might head. But this administration really has no one to blame but itself by trying to push that plan 2 years ago. I think maybe they poisoned the well a little bit, and you still have a lot of people out there that are like, I don't know about this. If this plan's got to be sold with a good faith effort and an intellectually honest way, because what they tried in 2019 with the PR campaign with it being those people didn't want to pay for their bridge to the beach or whatever, and not really fully explaining it, I think really, really did some damage to the effort overall.
Well, it did, and those scars are still there. You know, I mean, I would say that the wounds are healing up, but the scars are there, but the problem's still there too. And again, if anything, I think the takeaway is ALDOT and the governor's office have figured out, hey, listen, we're not going to be able to toll existing infrastructure. That's a no-go. It's not going to work. We're not going to be able to give that infrastructure over to a private concessionaire to then toll. That's a no-go. The whole concept of a private, P3 partnership, a private concessionaire, is a no-go. And having a toll that is as high as that, you know, is what was proposed initially, is a hard no-go. And proceeding without the support of your local county commissions, your local towns and municipalities and their mayors and city councils that sit on these MPOs, that's a no-go because they literally have to approve it as well. And I think all of those things are important lessons. And if you're looking for a silver lining, at least we've chipped away at some of the parts of that original plan that were so odious, and we're back to something that I think is at least better defined. And I think we're in a much better spot than where we were.
Well, I always thought the sales job, the sales pitch for what the governor and ALDOT were trying to do, they didn't really seem to really be too worried about what people in this part of the state that would use it thought. They went on a campaign that was statewide. They went on my friend Matt Murphy's radio show. They did, and it was just like, this is the solution, and they tackled it from a standpoint that people that maybe aren't as familiar with the current local situation, you know, the free route being through downtown Mobile, how would that look at rush hour? Try to go down Government Street and get through on the free route. If you had a $12 toll or something like that, it would be chaos. But people beyond, you know, people probably north of the Dolly Parton Bridge there weren't as aware of that. And I was in Huntsville at the time. And even elected officials up there were like, they just want their bridge for free. They don't like anything, and they want us to pay for it. And they did this with the BP money. And so that was something we had to deal with. And I think the governor's got to be out in front of this, and they got to take an approach that's really catered to more of a local, like a local flair, a local flavor to it.
Well, you know, transportation dollars, there's only so many of them in the pie, and there's competition for those dollars in the pie. And I can understand my colleagues in other parts of the state saying, hey, you know, you want a $2 billion, $2.2 billion new bridge, y'all going to have to help pay for it. We can't fund the whole thing. I understand where they're coming from. The problem is when we go to do a huge project in Birmingham or Huntsville, we're not tolling those structures. So it's fundamentally unfair, in my opinion, to toll Alabamians in South Alabama when you're not doing it in North or Central Alabama. That doesn't make any sense. Now, there is a lot of out-of-state traffic that comes through on I-10. And you have some visitors from Florida, you know, Louisiana, Mississippi, Texas, et cetera, that I would love to figure out a way to help them or, you know, help get them to fund a portion of this. But taxing Alabamians more, tolling Alabamians more, we're not doing it in other parts of the state. It's just not going to work. And then I'll say this too. Look, if they do it here, you know, it's going to happen elsewhere as well. I mean, don't make no mistake about it. It may start here. So I think that's why we had to take the stance that we did. And that's why I'm glad, that the program, the project as it was, you know, died in the MPOs. But it's time to resurrect, something. It's time to look at a plan, with the lessons learned from last time and come up with a solution that actually solves the problem.
And we'll get you out of here on this, but that's been kind of the struggle for you and your predecessors, anybody that served in the Alabama legislature, or more broadly speaking, just that in Birmingham and Huntsville, there seems to be a double standard when it comes to a lot of things. And this is, I still think this is out of sight, out of mind for a lot of people in Montgomery. And it somehow loses a little of its, being a priority, anything. And not just the toll bridge, but other things as well.
Well, it may, but I see that tide shifting. As you see, Baldwin County exceed Montgomery in population, as you see this part of the state continuing to grow economically, when you start talking about advanced manufacturing at Austell and Airbus, when you start talking about the huge logistics announcements that we have had, not just the Port of Mobile and its expansion of the container terminal, et cetera, but also the Amazon, the Walmart, you know, the distribution networks that are back and forth. When you start talking about the additional the roll-on, roll-off facility at the port, this area of the state is becoming increasingly more important to the state's economy as a whole, and therefore is going to warrant increased investment if we're going to keep that growth up.
Senator, we're up against the break. We got to leave it there. But as always, we appreciate your time, and we will talk again next week.
Sounds good. Y'all have a great weekend.
You too. State Senator Chris Elliott, our returning champion, on the phone there. Let's get a break. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5.
Guys in first class on a flight from New York to Los Angeles. Kind of making small talk, killing time, flirting with the flight attendant.